Beloved, the Father of Light is said to enlighten the eyes of our understanding using his servant, whom he has called to equip and build the saint. Now his excellency of speech by power and demonstration of the Holy Spirit, Pastor Shei Osoyinbi, enjoy the Spirit.
Hallelujah. Yahweh, we bless you. The eternal one, we worship you. The one who was before the beginning ever began. The one whose eternal power extends to all of eternity. The one who had mapped out his program before the program was initiated. The one who was not moved by the activities of darkness. The one who speaks and is established for 1,000 generations. You will reign. Your rulership is not dependent upon the activities of any. Before we were, you were. After we've gone, you will still be. We live at your pleasure. It is not the other way around. It was you that made the heavens and the earth. By your word, they are. And by your word, they shall disappear. We thank you for the privilege of coming to know you. We thank you for the privilege of having a relationship with you. Not as a judge, but as a father. Thank you for your spirit that you have sent to dwell in us. That we can cry, Abba, Father. Thank you for the testimonies we've heard this day of your faithfulness in the lives of your people, for the work the Holy Spirit did as it inspired us to act, and we have testimonies. Give the glory and honor to your name, our Father. We trust you this morning that your word will come expressly, and there will be no confusion. Things that we probably heard will come new. To those who have not heard these things, it will be an advantage to them that they will know and be certain of the things that we speak of concerning the Lord Jesus. We pray that faith will be ignited, understanding will be deepened, and our walk and communion will be clear. We bless your name, our Father. Trust you for it, utterance, because we prayed and worshiped together in the name of Jesus Christ. I didn't hear loud amen. Hallelujah. I greet every one of you this morning in Jesus' name. Can you please turn to your right and left and just appreciate your neighbor, your friend. Hallelujah. I welcome you. I also want to appreciate my wife. Hallelujah. Yesterday morning I woke up and I heard in my spirit, in the beginning was the word. Now, there is a particular doctrine that people in Christian fold hold on to, the doctrine of Trinity. Praise the Lord. But in real terms, many of us really do not understand how this is possible, that we can have a Trinity. Some have not been able to comprehend the kind of person the Holy Ghost is. Amen. But if you read the Bible, you will begin to see distinctions in their personalities, that they are not the same. Are you with me? In as much as they are the same, they are still not the same. Now, Revelation chapter 1, verse 1, that I picked this morning, I will come back here. He spoke about the revelation of Jesus Christ that God gave to him. This person called Jesus must be revealed. You need to know who he is. You need to know what he does. You need to know what he does not do. Hallelujah. Paul said we used to know him in the flesh, but we no longer relate with him from that perspective. People still relate with Jesus as the Jesus that was born on Christmas Day. But he is not that. He is more than that. Hallelujah. When John met him before he met him, do you understand what I mean? John first met him before he now met him. The epistle of John was written before he had the revelation. There were three levels of, I want to believe there are three levels of meeting. That was the first meeting that John had, which was a meeting on the personal level. The first day they met was when he came to their, was passing by their boat, and he saw he and his brother mending their nets, and he said, "Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." That was probably their first meeting. And John followed him. Whatever, I don't know what those guys saw that made them follow him. Whether it was the power of the words that he spoke that arrested their thoughts, I would know. But even at that, they still never knew him, and they had to learn about him. But that was a fleshy thing. They only knew him in the flesh. Hallelujah. Then at a particular point, when he rose from the dead, John now knew him again. And so he penned down that epistle, or that, is it epistle, not epistle, he penned down that gospel according to John. And he said, "In the beginning was the Word." In other words, the evangelist who spoke about Jesus never knew Jesus beyond the flesh. They were just telling us the narratives of his life. Hallelujah. But John had a way of, John was the one who sat and put his head on the chest of Jesus. There was something about that intimacy that opened the dimension of Jesus to John. That he saw that before the beginning ever began, there was the Word. Now, before the beginning began, there was no Father, there was no Son, and there was no Holy Ghost. The Bible called them the Elohim. In the beginning was the Elohim. Are you with me? Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. In the beginning, the Bible says God. The word God means, in the beginning, Elohim created the heavens and the earth. Hallelujah. The Elohim, the triune God, created the heavens and the earth. And then when they began to converse, they said, "Let us make man in our own image." Amen. Are you with me? They were all equal. There was no Father, there was no Son, and there was no Holy Ghost. I need you to appreciate what transpired, the transactions that was going on in the Trinity. Praise the Lord. He didn't have a name. There was no Father, there was no Son, there was no Holy Ghost. All of them, the whole Trinity was called Elohim. Are you with me? And so, when John saw beyond everything that was created, he went to the beginning of the beginnings. And what he saw was he that was called the Word. There was no name for him. They just used him. Just let me just try and capture this essence. Because how can you communicate what does not have a type in this realm? There's no example. If I say book, what comes to your mind? Book. Immediately your mind visualizes it. But if I say, I don't know what to say. Space. Empty space. Can you visualize empty space? You can't, because you've never seen one before. Beyond the fact that you can just look at this room and remove all the chairs, and in your mind you have what is called empty space. But even that is not empty. There are these things there. All these things are still there. Are you with me? But there is, because we've not seen it, there's nothing to relate with as a reality with what you're hearing. So John looked at this person and knew that this person had been before the beginning began. And all he could use to explain or to capture that essence and bring it to this realm for all of us to understand was, I called him the Word. He began to separate them. That even within the Elohim, there was a person that they knew as the Word. It says, in the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God. And the Word was God. Hallelujah. The three of them, very distinct, and yet they were alike. In when Paul was speaking about the ministry gifts, it broke down their responsibilities. You remember? He spoke about the Holy Ghost, that he is a custodian of the gifts of the Spirit. But he spoke about the administration of these gifts, that is by the Lord. But he said the dimension of operation is determined by the Father. If you don't understand how they operate, you will not, your relationship is not yet balanced. Hallelujah. In the beginning was the word. The word word there is the Greek word logos, that which was spoken. Now, Jesus is not the spoken word. Jesus was the one who speaks the mind of the Father. In the beginning, you see, when Paul was writing in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, the things that are in the Father, and He will give to us. There are things in the Father. Those things are custodied in the Father. Hallelujah. But he said, once they are custodied in the Father, bringing them out into reality was done by the Word. In other words, the Father willed it, the Son spoke it, and the Spirit created it. If you read the book of Philippians, Ephesians, it says that God is another predominant counsel of His own will. God wills it. The willing comes from His heart. The speaking forth is of the Son. So when the Son speaks, that's why they call Him the Word. He's the living essence. Now, it's not just that He speaks. He's a carrier. His words is a carrier of everything that is material and immaterial and gives life. He said in Him was life. Can we read that something? Hallelujah. Are you there? Just go back to that, John. In Him was life. Now, He said there was, before, He said there was nothing that you and I know that was made. Anything in all realms of creation were all made. I was reading a book. I'm sorry, I've not finished. And the person said that God took her to the beginning where nothing was. So when what she saw was the Elohim. When there was nothing, they just were there. Everything that was created came out of them. I don't know if that makes sense to you. I don't know, some of you, your mind may have been working wonders before, like mine did. I said, okay, let us assume God could have His own planetary system. Maybe there are other gods beyond His own planetary system. And that's what God too has, His own planetary system. Then, so we have many, many gods, but we don't know those ones. I don't know whether your mind has been working magic like my own. God answered that question. Isaiah said, I looked for a God above me and I found none. And I swear, I live forever. There is none. All the realms of any realm of imagination, there is none. Nowhere in your mind, see, there is we enjoy a characteristic of God. Our minds can run wild. That is what animals don't have. But your mind can run wild. So when we speak about reason, we're talking about the mind. That thing that is called mind, that can sit here and still be in Kaduna and will be operating. Praise God. That is what we enjoy. So any realm of imagination, beyond it, there's nothing beyond it. There's nothing outside that realm. Everything have their essence inside the Elohim. So God willed it, and the Son stood and spoke it into existence. You know, there's this place in John chapter 8. He said, the words I speak to you, the spirit and the life. In other words, once the words goes out, it has its own capacity. It carries life. It has life is embedded in the words. And the word is self-perpetuating. How did he put it in Isaiah? He said, my word is like the rain that comes down to the earth and waters the earth. He said, no word that has gone out of my mouth will return to me void. He said, it will accomplish the purpose to which it was sent. Once the word goes out of God's mouth, it doesn't need to worry his head about whether it will work or it will not work. You don't understand. See, the word itself is God. How can I explain this thing? Because we have a limitation. I am speaking. All you are doing is that you are hearing. But see, the words of God is not hearing. It doesn't need hearing. You don't understand. You don't need to hear the word of God. Once it's uttered, it's life. It takes on a different personality and accomplishes the purpose of which it's sent. I don't know whether you get that. So when the Bible says, have the God kind of faith, is asking you and I to begin to come into the place where God always, how God was operating. That once it speaks, it says his words are life. They are yea and they are amen. Once it is released, forget, go and sleep. It's immutable. You can't alter it. No demon in hell can stand and fight the word. You see, praise the Lord. Let me speak a little about the Holy Ghost. I'll come back. The Holy Ghost is a spirit. But you see, you and I imagine spirits as those ghosts we don't see. Are you with me? But you see, that realm where ghosts and spirits operate is unseen to us, but it's a tangible world. It's tangible, just like you and I are tangible, there are also tangible essences. Are you with me? But the truth is that even in that realm of the unseen, they don't see the Holy Ghost. He's invisible to them in that realm. Yet, they know he's there. He monitors everything they are doing. There's no angelic activity anywhere in the realm of creation that the Holy Ghost does not monitor. There is no thought that is moving that the Holy Ghost does not know. The way you are thinking, he knows what you are thinking. And yet, he monitors all the angelic hosts. He monitors all creation. He monitors all the animals. And yet, what kind of mind is that? What kind of computer system will take all kinds of input and process it and make judgments about it, individually customize judgments that will not put one file for another file? Are you understanding? Can you understand the vastness of his mind? How vast, how incomprehensible he is. Yet, he has this gentle touch. Praise the Lord. He knows when there's a shifting in your heart. He can pick it. He can sense it. He can call you to order. Because he said, the hair on our head, they are numbered. When they pluck one out, the Holy Ghost will initiate program to grow it back. How do you think your body responds to all those things? Is it in a chemical, an ordinary chemical? Can chemical, those of you that did chemistry, does reactions take place without something initiating it? Who is initiating the thing in your body? It's the Holy Ghost. How will he get the message? It's the Holy Ghost. Amen. All things were made by him. In other words, when the Son took of the Father, he began to verbalize those things. Said they were made by him. And without him was not anything made that was made. In other words, maybe there's something, this one, okay, this one they made it to, but the Son was not involved in the making. Somebody else was involved. The Bible says a lie. Anything that was made, Nahim Dua. There's nothing outside of any realm. Once it is made, Holy Ghost Dua. Now it's on. Now Son spoke it into existence. Hallelujah. Can you give me Proverbs 8? The old Testament saints captured it. They did not capture him very well, but they gave us a little glimpse into his nature. Hallelujah. No, I don't want to read the old. Take me to verse 22. Now this is how he said it. This is the word, but they called him wisdom here. Amen. The Lord possessed me in the beginning of his way. When did the Lord begin his way? When God began. Can you understand? When God began to be God, what did he possess? Wisdom. That was the first thing he acquired. But see, it was not an acquisition. Because there was no way the saint could comprehend what he was talking about. But these things are there. So he possessed me in the beginning of his way, before his works of old. Continue. He said this, I was set up from everlasting, from the beginning, wherever the earth was. Next. When there were no depths, I was brought forth. When there were no fountains, abounding with water. Before the mountains were settled, before the hills was I brought forth. While as yet he had not made the earth, nor the fields, nor the highest part of the dust of the earth world. When he prepared the heavens, I was there. When he set the compass upon the face of the earth. When he established the clouds above. When he strengthened the fountains of the deep. when he gave to the sea his decree that the waters should not pass his commandment, when he appointed the foundations of the earth, then I was by him as one brought up with him, and I was daily his delight, rejoicing always before him. Now go on. He says, next verse, rejoicing in the habitable part of his earth, and my delights were with the sons of men. Now you will not begin to understand why the Son was important in the salvation of men. Jesus didn't step out of eternity because there was nobody to do the work. Mm-mm. When he was speaking creation into existence, something was hiding in their hearts. There was something about him. See, all the things he created, none was like him. None could fellowship. See, he deliberately made man like that. You don't understand. When he made man and called man to come and name the animals, there was something was showing forth. The Bible says, and he noticed that Adam began to feel it. Something, there was something within Adam that nobody could see, but God saw. He said there was no help meet for him. And so what did God do? God provided him an help meet. Then Adam now found out that God too was looking for an help meet. And his own children could not be that helpmate. The Bible says he subjected creation to vanity, but he did it in hope. Do you understand the wisdom that is playing out here? His delight is with the sons of men. That was why he left heaven and came down to earth. Because he had always loved to have man. Now, you may not appreciate it, but please, I want you to appreciate it. When Jesus was the Word, he had all attributes of the Godhead. He had never for once begged for food. He had never for once asked for permission to do anything. Do you understand me? How did Paul put it to the Philippians? You know where that place is in the Philippians. Say, let this mind be in you, which was what? Which was in Christ Jesus. Who being in the form of God? Now, I don't like the form of God. Who being God is better for me. Hallelujah. Who being God thought it not robbery to be equal with God. Now, praise God. I'm not teaching on humility. Because that is a different perspective entirely. Jesus had always been God. But you see, he was taking a terrible risk, shedding the Godhead. But as he put off the nature of the Godhead and stepped into the earth. How did John put it? He says, and this word became flesh and dwelt amongst us. And we beheld his glory as the glory of the only begotten of the Father. He took on flesh. In taking on flesh, he was taking a risk. None of them have ever become flesh. They were creating all kinds of flesh. Now, when he was talking about him coming and taking on flesh, Jesus was taking a risk. Because he may never return to the Father again. He may never return to the Father. By taking on flesh, he will never return to the nature he was before he came to the earth. The being he was, he will never return to that. It was the eternal Word. It was the one who was the Bible called the effulgence of his glory. He was one who displayed the glory of God. Where when God taught, he interpreted his thoughts and he implemented his thoughts. That was, you cannot begin to understand when I call that was powerful. That was beyond powerful. Are you with me? Then it became flesh. You don't know what it is to be flesh. If you want to know what is flesh, go and read the book of the book of the prophets, especially Ezekiel. When God will come and say, Son of Man. When they call you Son of Man, your case is bad. Son of Man. Yeah, but if your case is worse, terrible. They will never go back there. By that single act, he had forever, forever sacrificed that nature. Apart from the fact that it was always going to be exposed to satanic wiles. Now, you see, when he's God, the Bible says God cannot be tempted and he tempts no man. When he was God, no, Satan can't tempt him. He did can't pay. How come my rain? See, listen, I was saying somewhere, I think it was Believer's Convention. I said, when Satan was rebelling, he had a calculated, he calculated that it's possible he could overthrow God. He had done the analysis. He had done the SWAT. You know what they call SWAT? He had done the analysis and he found out I have about 60 to 80% chance of overthrowing God. Because what God was portraying was weakness. When Paul was writing to his book of Romans, he said God's foolishness is wiser than man. He was answering Satan. That scripture was a response to satanic wisdom. We're telling Satan. There are things you read in the Bible that those guys were responding to spirits. God was foolish, but his foolishness was wiser than their wisdom. God was looking weak, but his weakness was stronger than their strength. You don't understand. When God was sitting there, Revelation present was to look upon like a sundying stone. Not just one stone out of the stones that Satan was clothed with. It was the glorious one. It was the covering cherub that covereth. It was the one who was the beast of the stones of fire. So when you look at brightness, Lucifer was probably brighter than God. And spirits respond to brightness. When you stand and you are bright, you say, my boy, you capacity work. So he looked at the whole possibility and said, I think I take this God down. Because God was just looking weak. He was looking he was looking like SU. You know, SUs are not well packaged. They don't speak good grammar. They don't speak good English. They don't speak good everything. And he revolted. But God was not moved. Now, he was coming to the battlefield and was exposed to Satan. Now, the consequences that if he made one mistake, he was finished forever. The second person of the Godhead would never return back there again. There would have been a permanent void for all of eternity. There was no plan B to rescue him. God, if you know the people who play, is it not chess, this pool, who bet, everything that God had, staked it. You say somebody's a gambler, God gambled. So you can understand what was going through their minds. Even though he was God, he did not hold on to his rights as God, but he took on the nature of man and a servant and became obedient to death. That's why when you were going to exalt him, but before this exaltation, remember in John chapter 17, it was a prayer he prayed. He said, the glory I had, restore it. And God gave him more than that. Philippians let us know that. He said they gave him a name which is above all names. Now you see, in the those realms, names matter. A name is a summary of his stature. A name is a summary of a being. I don't know how to explain those things. You see, praise the Lord. Each of us, we are all unique. Some of us, we have better intellect. Some of us, we have better bodies. No, there may be no intellect there. Hallelujah. Some of us are very good athletically. Some of us, we are just different people. Praise the Lord. Are you with me? But it was not so with Jesus. Jesus, as a person, when he came to this earth and took on that nature of flesh for all of eternity, when he stepped back into eternity, the Father gave him a name. Remember, his name before was the Word. But now when they gave him a name, what you call the name of Jesus is more than the name of Jesus. There are certain things that are part that backs that name. So when you say Jesus, creation responds. It's a default position. Hallelujah. It's a what? It's default. Because there is what they call a testimony in heaven. The blood is a testimony in heaven that this man shed his blood for the salvation of man. But what intrigues me visually is that when Jesus returned to heaven, he never returned to that same position again, or that same nature. He doesn't carry that same nature again as the world. What we now see is a man in the Godhead. It's an eternal testimony that he had brought man into the Godhead. What was in the Godhead before were spirits. But when he stepped back there, what he brought into the Godhead was a man. That's why you and I can come and sit together with them in the heavenly places. Because if he was never a man, you can't sit there. There's no testimony, there's no place, there's nothing that was created for you. Praise the Lord. Jesus, I want us to appreciate him and appreciate your salvation. And every time you see him hold his hands out, that is a testimony of what he went through for your sake, my sake. What he gave up. I don't think eternity will not be sufficient to appreciate it. The risk was so much. So when you say, Jesus, I love you, I want you to say it with understanding. You need to appreciate what he did for you. Because if you did not do it, you and I will never return to the Godhead. Hallelujah. So he just didn't save us from our sins. He saved us that we may come in together and sit with him. And you know, only the Godhead can sit on that throne. So you know. Do you know that? Only who? Godhead can sit. If you don't carry the nature of the Godhead, you can't sit. That's why Romans 8 said that he has sent into us the spirit of his son, so that we can cry, Abba, Father. You have a father. And you remember in John chapter 6, was it 6 or so 5? He said, they were going to stone Jesus. He said, why do you want to stone me? He said, for which works are you planning to stone me? They said, not for any works you've done. But by calling yourself the Son of God, you make yourself equal with God. So when they say Son of God, do you understand the implication? When the Bible says we are seated together with him, that is sonship. That is privilege. But somebody end it for us. Don't throw this away. Don't trample on it. Don't play with it. Don't joke with it. The Bible says those who have, how did they put it? They don't despise to the spirit of grace. When you count the blood of Jesus to mean nothing, you offend the Holy Ghost. It's not Jesus you offend. God me binus here, but Holy Ghost abinu. So he knew what Jesus went through. He knew both of them went through. Praise the Lord. Bless you. Good evening. Could you, Father, forgive them? But today, only because we may carry Jesus. Because it despised the blood that was shed. It's not just the shedding of the blood, it's all that went into that program that makes them angry. Don't toy with the blood of Jesus. Don't count it as nothing. Don't look at that sacrifice as what is his business? So that we do not step into realms we should not step into. Can we bow our heads and pray and just thank God? Today, just for thanking God and blessing Jesus. Just appreciate who Jesus is. The Bible calls him the first and the last. He's the Word. The Word of God. It's called by many names because its manifestation Because he says his delight is with men. He delights the habitable places of earth. You will not see him in the desert. He doesn't operate in that realm. He doesn't go to that place. He's not the God of the dead. He's the God of the living. Appreciate Jesus, what Jesus did and what it means to you. Appreciate him, the word of God. The faith that Jesus exhibited when he walked the earth is what I call the faith of the Son. When he was like he was defeated, he still had faith in the Father, that the Father will raise him from the dead. What kind of faith are you willing to exhibit as the days go by? That great apostle said, 80 years I have served him and he has done me no wrong. This Jesus does not do people wrong. His interest is how you can come into the Godhead. There is no greater sacrifice, no greater offer than he should share the Godheadship with you. It says if he so much made that offer for us, what else is there in creation that he cannot freely give? Take it out of your mind that God is interested, not interested in your progress. Don't let it be said to you that God is punishing you. He has no such program. I just thank you, Jesus. I don't have enough words to convey what has been expressed in the Word of God, what has been expressed in the Bible. But Father, I have, by your mercy and grace, been able to explain a little of this. I'm thanking you for the role the three of you played in the salvation of man. I appreciate the sacrifice of the Son. You gave up your place in heaven. You came from heaven to earth to show the way from the earth to the cross. My death you paid, from the cross to the grave, from sky. Lord, I lift your name. Can we please stand up and we sing that song together? Lord, I lift up your name on high. Lift your name on
high. Lord, I love to sing your praise.
Lord, I love to sing your praises.
So glad you reign in my life.
I'm so glad you came to save me.
I'm so glad you came to save me. You came from heaven to earth to show.
From the grave. Jesus, we'll forever be grateful for the sacrifice. For the sacrifices you made. It was not just the cross that was the only sacrifice. The giving up of your Godhead. The giving up of the nature that you first had with the Father. The giving up of the glory that you once had with the Father was a great sacrifice. We acknowledge and we appreciate what you did when you came from heaven to earth to dwell among us, to walk among us, to show us the way back to the Father. And the ultimate sacrifice that was done on Calvary, we are grateful. We say thank you, Jesus. We bless you, Father, for raising him up. You have shown an example and an encouragement to us that what you've said and what you promised you will do. Jesus trusted you that on the third day you will raise him from the dead. And on that third day, you kept your promise. I bless your name. We'll be forever grateful for what you did. Thank you for bringing us into the Godhead. Thank you for bringing us into the beloved. That we can share the fellowship with the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. We pray that you will deepen our fellowship. We pray that you will deepen our communion. That will go beyond religious rites. It will go beyond church programs. It will become a living activity. That our fellowship and communion is with the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. We want to be eternally grateful for what you've done. We bless your name. We appreciate you. Blessed be your name, O God. Because we've given thanks and worship. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Amen. God bless you.
It's grace. Your grace. I'm nothing without you.
We hope that you have been richly blessed by this message. God demands that we not only be hearers but doers of the word. We implore you to put these teachings to practice. Perhaps you have a question running through your mind in the course of the message. Forward it directly to pastor's email, pdtchurch@gmail.com. We desire to have you join one of our meetings, School of Dialysis, every Tuesday, 6 p.m. to 8 p.m. Governmental prayers, every Thursday, 6 p.m. to 8 p.m. Sunday service, 9 a.m. at Power and Glory Tabernacle Auditorium, along Futa South Gate Road, Akure. For more information about the ministry, log on to our website at www.pdtchurch.org or call 080-372-6099. Grace be with you.
It's your grace.